Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Silver Queen, Mystique, Trinity, and Sugar Buns? Just hearing the names of new varieties of corn is enough to make us blush. Here we are at the end of July. We're deep into barbecue season. Some of us are picking strings of corn silk out of our teeth after nearly every meal. But some of you may have noticed a change in your cobs, a new sweetness that you don't remember being there before. You may have noticed it with strawberries, too, that bubblegum taste. Is that how strawberries are supposed to taste? And those sugary peaches, our fruits and vegetables, are getting sweeter. But that doesn't mean they're just as tasty as before. My guest in the studio has a lot to say about what's been happening to the taste of corn. He's written about it for The Atlantic magazine. He's Roger Sherman, a documentary filmmaker, still photographer, and professional eater. His latest film, The Restaurateur, is about Danny Meyer's efforts to open a new restaurant. But this time of year, his passion is corn and eating corn. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for inviting me.
I see you've brought in some corn for us to taste.
We have brought in some corn. I think it's being flown in right now.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe it was in those little cups there, but
nope.
That's your water.
That's my water.
Okay, so I don't have any corn to taste. Darn it.
Not
that's
yet.
The main reason why I do this. You know that, right? So tell me what's changed with corn. I mean, corn has changed from the time, I mean, it's always been hybridized and changed, and human beings have been interacting with corn for thousands of years.
And every vegetable is hybridized for hundreds of years, that's for sure. But if you've noticed over the last 10 or 15 years, it's gotten sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. And what I didn't realize until I did some research for this article is that you see signs that say super sweet. That's actually a technical term. And super sweet was designed for Florida corn growers to grow very sweet corn that would stay sweet on a truck for a week while it was shipped up north to us. What's happened is corn has become less flavorful and more sweet. I'm one of those people that if I don't have 5 ears of corn at a meal, I'm not happy and I can eat a dozen. And all of a sudden I found, why am I not eating all this much corn anymore?
Because it's just too sweet for you?
Yes, because the flavor is gone. And after a while, you can only eat so much candy, you know.
Give us a call about your experience of corn. Are you noticing that it's sweeter, like our guest? How about other vegetables? How have they changed for you since eating them as a little kid? Give us a call at 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. We hope to get a few calls before we wrap up the show in 10 minutes. I'm speaking with Roger Sherman, a documentary filmmaker and a self-described corn fan. So tell us about the different varieties. What's the most common variety of corn out there now?
It's very hard to tell. I went to the green market this morning. People say this is bicolor, this is Silver Queen. That really doesn't mean very much because in the varieties, as we talked about, super sweet, there's also other varieties that don't tell you how sweet it's going to be. And it's really catch as catch can. Also, growers are growing every week, they're planting a different kind because they don't know what pests are going to get them. They don't know what the weather's going to do to them. So it's really changing. Even the same person you buy from at the green market will maybe have a different corn next week. So it's really about how to choose the corn when you go there.
And tell me about that. I mean, just it used to be, and you describe this in your article, it used to be that when you bought corn, the idea was that it was sugary then, that if you hung on to it for a day or two or put it in your refrigerator or something, it was going to become very starchy within hours of it being picked. But you were commenting that you were munching on corn, you know, days later, and it was still just as sweet. So has that changed for corn too, that you don't have to eat it right away once you buy it at the farmer's market?
Yes, that's what they're calling this super sweet corn, or SH2. They also have triple sweet sugary, sugary enhanced, and normal sugary, which are going sort of back in time.
So what does it mean to get a fresh ear of corn anymore?
That's a very, very good question. And what I do is I look and I try not to buy super sweet, because super sweet I know will last for a week. If you just want the sugar, then that would be great for you. I look for corn that, number one, doesn't have brown stalks, brown ends, because that means it was picked yesterday or the day before. I take the top of the stalk and I take a little squeeze. I don't shuck it any because no one's going to buy that. If it pops in your fingers, almost like popcorn, that's fresh. But then you have to watch out, especially today. I saw there were 8 stands. 4 of them had brown stems, so I didn't buy. But the others had peeled the outside leaves to make it look really great. And I said, wow, that looks beautiful. But then you look and wait a minute. It's not that dark green kind of, you know, it's been out in the field. It's green. It's a little bit brown. And then there are very few organics. There was no organic today. There was a delicious organic on Saturday. I've only found one on Long Island.
Isn't that sort of an oxymoron, organic corn? Doesn't it need lots and lots of petroleum-based pesticides to...
Not according to the people that are growing it. It's still non-organic is still not good for you in the same way other non-organic things you might consider not good for you. The growers tell me that a little corn-borne borer worm will get in the top, but usually not any further down. I'm not a scientist. I haven't, you know, gone and looked at every single one.
We're taking your calls at 212-433-9692. Steve from Dobbs Ferry, you're on WNYC.
Hi, yeah, I grew up in central Pennsylvania. The best corn I ever had, and I'm in my 50s, so in the 1960s, we would have these picnics where they would be adjacent to where the corn was growing, and you would do just what Garrison Keillor said, go out there, pick it, and put it in to boil within seconds. And that was wonderful stuff, and I just haven't had the flavor of that ever since.
Steve, thanks so much for your call.
My grandmother wouldn't let us go out and pick until the water was boiling. So that's, you know, he's exactly right.
Well, now, how much of this, though, is looking at things through the rosy glasses of nostalgia? You know, I think tomatoes tasted better when I was young. Peaches were better. Nectarines were better. But I also have to remember I grew up in the 70s, so that was sort of the high. In some ways, the produce we're getting today is much better than the produce I got in my childhood when all we existed on was iceberg lettuce. So
it's much better, and I'm sure that that factors into it, too.
Nostalgia.
Yes.
Okay. Elaine from Manhattan, you're on WNYC.
Hi. Yes, I grew up in Virginia, and I come from a long line of restaurateurs, cook. My dad was a cook, and they're from Greece, and we always had a garden, and so I ate fresh herbs out of the garden. But my mother has just mentioned that the potatoes that she buys from the grocery store don't even cook. They don't even have the same consistency as an older potato. So I'm talking about chemically altered foods that they're raising hybrids, including the tomatoes, which are not good at all, that you buy in the grocery store.
I would agree with you there on the tomatoes, Elaine. Thanks for your call. Tell me about genetically altered corn. How prevalent is it?
Well, there's some confusion on that. In the research that I started to do, I was told by some seed growers that especially Johnny's and other of the big seed growers have made a pledge that they will not sell genetically altered corn. And I was told that it's not in the people eating market. I read an article this morning that disputed that said, you know, they were talking about organic corns and they were talking about genetically modified. So the jury's still out on that. And
so we only have 2 minutes left. You've brought 4 ears of corn in here. I think we're only going to be able to taste 2, number 1 and number 2.
Let's
do
number 1 and number 3.
And tell me what I'm eating, number 1.
Okay. Well, you tell me how sweet that tastes. And it's been sitting for a little while, so it's not ideal circumstances.
I'd say that's, on a scale of 1 to 10, that's probably an 8.
Yeah, that's super sweet.
Okay.
Now, and it's delicious, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, eat number 3, since we only have a moment.
Oh, different. There's a little edge of corniness to the corn.
That's right. It's still sweet, but it's corny flavor. And if you tried the other two, you'd find almost no sweetness, not a lot of flavor, and...
And which one is this, the second one I sampled?
The second one you sampled, they don't know what they're selling. It's not super sweet. I don't know if it's sugary enhanced. They just said, this is, you know, bicolor corn. So It's a crapshoot.
So it's really hard for people to go out and get either the sweet corn that they want or maybe the cornier corn.
That's right.
Corn.
It's really hard. But what I think this conversation can begin, and the people I've been talking to, is we can say to our growers, just like we want better chickens and we want better tomatoes and we want better strawberries, what about my corn? Don't just give me super, super sweet. Go back. Tell your seed growers, I want flavor and sweet.
Great idea. Let's all do that. I've been speaking with Roger Sherman, a documentary filmmaker and still photographer. His latest film, The Restaurateur, is about Danny Meyer. Thank you so much for bringing in the corn. This is my lunch.
Bon appetit.
Right. And thank you for tuning in. I'll be hosting for Brian tomorrow as well. The Brian Lehrer Show was produced today by Lisa Allison, Jody Avergan, Paige Cowett, Alan Smith, and Karen Camp, with Alana Casanova Burgess. We got intern help from Alessandra Rubini, Janet Kim, and Rafael Vera. That's Debbie Daughtry at the audio controls, and Megan Ryan is our senior producer. I'm Amy Eddings. Thanks so much for tuning in. Continue the conversation online on the Brian Lehrer Show page on our website, WNYC.org. This is WNYC New York. Coming up next, The Leonard Lopate Show.